talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Cyberspace is a place that only a human being locates, where there's so much information to take. Then you enter an entirely new phase. Once you get off the internet, become World Wide Web.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind. I'm your host and facilitator, Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to stay tuned for interesting interviews, news you can use, and programming designed with you in mind. Free your mind, the rest will follow, right here on the Cyberspace Sanctuary on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul.
Cyberspace is the place. Cyberspace is the place.
Habarigani, Wanda.
Feel the joy as we sing of the love togetherness can surely bring emotion. Set the table, matter strong, thankful for the first fruits of the year. You say I light a candle just for you. Come join the party, it's a celebration. Karabu at Wanda time of year. It's alright, it's a celebration that should last throughout the year.
Happy Kwanzaa,
happy
Kwanzaa. There's a very much we can do.
All right.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Together there is so much we can do.
Happy Kwanzaa,
happy Kwanzaa. Times of old, tradition is the food that fills our souls. Yes, it does. Still the children are the future of all our hopes and dreams. Let's teach them well. Let's teach them well. Come join the party. It's a celebration. Karamu at Kwanzaa time of the year. It's alright. It's a celebration that will last throughout the year.
Happy
Kwanzaa. Happy Kwanzaa. Alright.
Happy
Kwanzaa. Everybody.
Happy
Kwanzaa. Together there is so much we can do. Happy, happy, happy. Happy
Kwanzaa.
So many ways to show I love you. See, I have faith in all that we do. But we gotta stay together. Just a few of the principles that help us.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
another blessed day. I give hugs to my mom, my dad, and my sis. You smell that? I run to see what mom's cook. While we drink from the cup of togetherness, it's that part of the year that you don't want to miss. I give a gift from the heart so you know it's true. So recite a principle and tell me what it means to you.
Hey.
Determination. Work together.
But we gotta work together.
Professor Griff, you're listening to Junius Ricardo Stanton. Straight up, we're teaching you all those things you need to know from the neck up, all right? We're definitely doing a checkup from the neck up. This is Professor Griff from Public Enemy, the ex-minister. I'm out. Peace.
Welcome to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind, right here on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. My name is Junius Ricardo Stanton. We thank you for logging on. We thank you for being with us. We thank you for your long-time support. If you're a long-time listener and supporter, if you're just logging on for the first time, welcome. And we encourage you to check out all the programs, all the hosts here on Rainbow Soul. We started off the program with our message in the music from Teddy Pendergrass, the late, great Teddy Pendergrass. Happy Kwanzaa. And as we enter this winter solstice season, we extend best wishes for peace, health, prosperity in the coming year. Following these messages, we'll talk about the winter solstice as well as Kwanzaa. You're logged on to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind with Junius Ricardo Stanton on the Blake Radio Network's Rainbow Soul. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Greetings to the Internet Radio family. This is Reverend Valentine speaking. You know, for nearly 30 years, I have had the distinct experience of being interviewed over every medium of communication available to the public. And except for the metaphysical underground, I can think of no other electronic venue that has been more progressive, more innovative, more insightful, more diligent, more diverse in its demographics, and more courageously supportive of the truth than this ever-growing phenomenon called Internet radio. And this is precisely why I'm here to tell you that it is so vital that you give your wholehearted support to it. Tell a friend. In fact, tell 2, 3, and 4 of your friends. If you are a business owner, support Internet radio by telling your customers and constituents all about it. Let them know that there is a legitimate and important substitute to all of the prefabricated, super-censored garbage polluting our public airways today. Don't allow the mass media to continue to treat you like a mindless consumer drone. Enhance your awareness. Indulge your critical thinking, your reasoning, and your analysis. Do as I do. Log on, listen in, and then let it be known all about your internet radio experience. Chimatep, beloved family, thank you for listening. Walk in light.
Hi, I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, inviting you to join me in financially supporting the Blake Radio Network on a regular basis. We need your continuing patronage to help the Blake Radio Network
remain alive and thriving both now and well into the future. There are several easy ways you can send your contribution. To use PayPal, click on the help link on the Blake Radio Network's website at www.blakeradio.com, or you can go directly to the PayPal website and click the send money link. Type in rainbowsoul@blakeradio.com as the email address and Unlimited Ventures as the payee. Then follow the instructions. To send a check or money order, make it out to Unlimited Ventures, care of Neil Blake, and mail it to 73 Ireland Place, that's Ireland Place, Suite 109, Amityville, Amityville, New York, 11701. It's easy, painless, and uncomplicated. And you'll feel great after doing it, knowing you're keeping the Blake Radio Network alive and on the cutting edge of media technology. I'm Junius Ricardo Stanton, thanking you in advance for your support.
Umoja, unity that brings us together. Umoja, unity that brings us together. Umoja, unity that brings us together.
We often hear folks utter the cliche, Jesus is the reason for the season. Around this time, there seems to be a resistance to Kwanzaa and almost a chauvinistic approach by some religious people about the holiday, Christmas. Much of it is in their fervor to be adherents to their dogma, their theology, and their beliefs. And unfortunately for them, most of it's based on ignorance. They have no idea that this season, this winter solstice, has major importance and significance that antedates and predates Christianity by thousands of years. And one of my most recent blog pieces is, in fact, called the Winter Solstice, and we're going to share it here, not to debunk anybody's religion, not to put anybody down, not to mock anybody's theology or anything like that, but just to give you an historical perspective of the significance of the Winter Solstice. And you can see it in some of the e-groups like the Blacklist.pub, Love for Self, some of their e-groups, their listservs, and a couple of other sites around the internet under my blog, From the Ramparts. It's entitled The Winter Solstice. Quote, in prehistoric times, winter was a very difficult time for Aboriginal people in the northern latitudes. The growing season had ended, and the tribe had to live off stored food and whatever animals they could catch. The people would become troubled as the life-giving sun sank lower in the sky each noon. They feared that it would eventually disappear and leave them in permanent darkness and extreme cold. After the passage of the winter solstice, they would have reason to celebrate and regain hope in the future as they saw the sun rising and strengthening once more. Although many months of cold weather remained before spring, they took heart that the return of the warm season was inevitable. The concept of birth and or death slash rebirth became associated with the winter solstice. The Aboriginal people had no elaborate instruments to detect the solstice, but they were able to notice a slight elevation of the sun's path within a few days after the solstice, perhaps by December 25th. Celebrations were often timed for about the 25th, unquote. Winter solstice, www.religioustolerance.org/winter-solstice. As we transit toward the winter solstice and the emergence of the sun towards longer days, eventual spring and summer, let us use this occasion, as many ancient myths, allegories, and religions have in the past, as a way of engendering hope and thinking about resurrection and rebirth. We live in a complex society and world with trying time. If ever there was a time for hope, it is now. And I'm not talking about the false hope politicians rail about or the wistful thinking we too often engage in, but rather an assuredness that good, harmony, peace, and justice are possible and attainable in our lifetime, here and now. If we think about the winter solstice like our ancestors did, as a time when the life-giving sun seemed to go down into the grave, quote-unquote, or cave, quote-unquote, to eventually reemerge upward, bringing increasing daylight until finally the longer days of spring, summer planting, and the eventual hope and expectation of harvesting, we can project this time as a personal saga and experience for ourselves. A new sun is coming to be born. We have the promise and expectation of the coming warmth of a new season. Abundance and plenty will follow the cold darkness and winter. This new sun can be a metaphor for many things. Enlightenment, a new start in life, a transition from one state of consciousness to another, a warmer, more productive existence. There are countless religions around the world, both ancient and modern, that have fashioned holidays and celebrations that coincide with and are based upon the winter solstice from December 22nd through December 25th. Some talk about the birth of an avatar, a savior, using the sun as an allegory. For others, it is an omen for the coming warmer seasons. Historian John G. Jackson says this in his book, Christianity Before Christ. Quote, at the winter solstice, the sun was at the lowest point of the celestial sphere at its southern limits. Then it began to move northward along the ecliptic of the sun passing over the celestial equator at the vernal equinox, which was Easter. The crossing of the sun from the south to the north side of the equator was the origin of the festival of the Passover. When the sun passed over the celestial equator 3,000 years ago, it was situated in Aries, the lamb or ram. So the lamb became the symbol of the sun god. This suggests the origin of the Paschal lamb, widely known as the symbol of the crucified Christ. Several of the sacrificed saviors were said to have been crucified in the heavens, unquote. Christianity Before Christ, page 128. I say this not to discredit any religion or debunk anyone's theology, but to show how ancient humanity used naturally occurring phenomena to tell stories, make sense out of their reality, and apply it to a deeper spiritual level. We can do likewise. While we can change any time we choose, we can use the winter solstice as a time of reflection and personal transformation to be like the sun as it transitions from the cave or the grave on its way to the pinnacle of brightness, fullness, and life-giving energy. This occasion could be an allegory for our consciousness. We can rise and raise our vibratory levels away from and beyond the crass materialism, ignorance, our ego, which I define as earth-grounded orientation, and mindlessness, to a deeper psychological and spiritual awareness of our interconnectedness and integration into the universe. Just as the sun and moon are the dominant entities in the heavens in our solar system for us, we can use them as symbols, models, and signposts for personal growth, evolution, enlightenment, and cooperation. The winter solstice, as the observable phenomenon of the sun in relation to the earth, has been used for eons to tell stories and lessons about life, its possibility and potential. The various avatars, saviors, gods, and goddesses were all allegories, ideals, metaphors, and examples for us to follow. Let's move beyond a mere celebration of this time to grasp a deeper comprehension of its symbolism by becoming living suns ourselves, emerging from the temporary depths of stupor, immaturity, and lethargy to the permanent heights of enlightenment, wisdom, and empowerment. Information is meaningless without action. Let your light, your sun, so shine that men see your good works and deeds and recognize you as the brilliant actualization of the divinity within you. Peace. In the annals of human history, the occasion of the winter solstice, just as the vernal equinox, they're all astronomical or astrological occurrences, and they had significance because to our ancient ancestors, the heavens were important, not because it was the residence of the gods. That came later with a different group of people, but because they viewed that the universe was an ordered whole, and in order for us to reflect the order, the purpose, the symmetry of the universe, they had the axiom, as above, so below. So they attempted to replicate the order, symmetry, and meaning they saw in the heavens on our earthly existence and our earthly lives. And so the sun, because it was such a prominent entity in the solar system, it was the closest star, it was the largest thing in the universe, you could see why people would use the sun as an allegory, as a metaphor for not only the notion of divinity or a deity, but also of humanity in terms of on a higher level. And so often those were just symbols, they were just icons. It's just that many times the people who assumed positions of leadership and authority, whether they were priests or rulers, just like today, tried to make things understandable, and in many cases they dumbed them down or they diverted the esoteric meaning and just took on the exoteric, the outer or the limited meaning, or the formalist meaning of the symbol or the word. But the sun was important, and its travels throughout the universe, because there's nothing to suggest that it stays the same, we're all in constant motion, as our ancestors said, and the earth's relationship to it was very significant. And so quite naturally, many ancient understandings would be incorporated in anything new. And so people who say that Jesus is the reason for the season, well, it sounds nice, it's not a little catchy little rhyme, And for them it is, because when your consciousness is such, you know, what you say becomes your reality. So for them it is. But if you really want to know the truth, the whole look at the winter solstice, the sun and its relationship to the earth, predate and antedate any of the theology that was used to bring forth Christianity. And I say that because people, when they talk about Kwanzaa, they say, well, that's not a religion. Well, it's not a religion. It was, they said that was an invented thing. Well, so is Christianity. Kwanzaa is not a religion. Kwanzaa is a set of principles and values that are set forth as ideals, very practical, not in some kind of unattainable or not in some kind of impossibility, like a lot of things in organized religion are, and they do that to keep you in fear and guilt and the sense that you need what they have or otherwise you'll be doomed. No, this is about collective ecosystem, being appreciative of the fruits and bounty of the earth, and being in a collective appreciation for the bounty of the living earth, and being in right relationship with ourselves and the earth, as well as the heaven. Now, Milana Karenga doesn't go into all of that, but he understands the thinking of African people and Aboriginal people, and he looked at what we needed. And what we need is an appreciation of nature, a sense that we belong in the ecosystem, as opposed to the European sense of alienation and separation from nature. We need a restructuring and a sense of community, collective community, because our ancient ancestors fully understood that cooperation and mutual aid were better than competition and exploitation and predation. And it's consistent with our understanding, the African understanding of Ma'at. And all these are offshoots of the same thing. But I wanted to go back and just talk about this, so not to have you argue with anybody who can't see that Kwanzaa is not a religion, that it's not being foisted upon folks as a religion. It's a celebration. It's a recognition of the abundance, the celebration, the harvest is past, and now we're giving thanks and we're reaffirming who we are, reaffirming our purpose, reaffirming our faith in each other, and reaffirming our commitment to transcend our current conditions to make our community better, more productive, and more righteous than when we inherited. But I just want to share something with you in terms of the sun in the Encyclopedia of Religion. And this, I've had this for, it was this elderly book, the Philosophical Library. Was a publisher, and a copyright 1945 by the Philosophical Library, and at that time it was located at 15 East 40th Street, New York, New York, under Sol Invictus. Name applied by the Romans to a sun god or divinity imported from the Near East to Rome along with other foreign gods in the years following disasters to Romans during the Second Punic Wars. Identified with Mithras, a high divinity derived from the religion of the Persians, as Mithras, Sol Invictus had a festival which led to the Christmas celebration of the Christians on December 25th. A syncretic god of the Roman Imperial State Cult. For a time in the late Roman Empire, certain equations were drawn between Sol Invictus, Mithras, high divinity, in relation to Mazda and Christ, high divinity, in relation to God, Zeus. And again, that Christianity wasn't new. A lot of it is an outgrowth and very similar to the original psychodrama, the Asaurian drama out of ancient Africa, or what we might call Kemet or Kush, now called Egypt, where there was, in essence, an explanation of good and evil. And Heru, the hero, that's where we get the word hero from, emerges to right the wrongs and to restore the righteous kingdom of his father, Asar. And it's the first account anywhere, at least written or oral, of an immaculate birth. And you have to be familiar with the story to understand it, where you have a brother who's jealous of his brother. So even prior to Cain and Abel, you have Asar and Set. Set kills Asar, just like you have in the Hebrew Cain and Abel story. And he usurps the throne. And the wife of Asar searches for his body, finds it, remembers it, meaning it, Seth had chopped it into pieces. She brings all the pieces back, minus one. And because of her lamentations and her tears and her crying, the spirits hear her and take compassion and pity upon her. And through a mystical and a spiritual miracle, she gives birth to a son through Asar. And at that point, Asar has now gone on to become the ruler of the so-called underworld. And her son comes on the scene, is Heru, and he sets out to restore righteousness and to avenge his father. And it's a classic battle between Set and Heru. Heru's eye is gouged, put out, and he can't see, which is symbolism in itself of the hero and all of us who we get lost and need assistance, and we get the assistance from the spiritual world who give us sight, the insight, the inner eye. And he goes on to be able to defeat Seth and reconcile Seth. In some versions he kills him, but in most versions he becomes reconciled and he's put in his proper place, meaning that righteousness rules over the ego and the animalistic and the usurper. And basically, while you can look at it as an exoteric myth or tale, it has esso, meaning inner, deeper archetypal implications for all of us, just as the Christ story has also. There was no person in Palestine named Jesus. Jesus is the Latin form of the name Joshua or Yeshua. And so in the proper context, taking it out of the Eurocentric context and the Latin and the Roman context, his name would have been Yeshua ben Joseph or Joshua ben Joseph. Basically, they were looking for a teacher of righteousness to come and restore Israel to its proper place, or to move it out from under the yoke of these foreign invaders. And in that particular case, it was the Romans. And that's why, as you see, you look at even with the changes and the alterations in the story, that Yeshua was tried for sedition. Sedition is not a religious charge. It's a political charge. It's talking about overthrowing the established order. And what was the established order? Overarching established order was the Roman Empire. But he was also betrayed by the Sanhedrin, by the Sadducees in the Sanhedrin. And it's a long story. Once Christianity became a focal point of the Roman Empire and it became the common religion of the Roman Empire, and in order for them to do that, they had to integrate all these other pieces from other cultures and other religions. That's why they took Sol Invictus. That's why they took the whole piece of Zoroastrianism. That's why they took the whole piece of Mithra. That's why they took a lot of the Asaurian drama, but they just won't give it credit to the Asaurian part because it's African, it's black. And so they put it together so that the people in and around the Mediterranean, as far as Turkey into Europe, as well as the so-called Near East, that border the Mediterranean, where the African culture hundreds of years ago had reigned supreme and what they were familiar with, and was the basis of a lot of these other religions. And so the people could grasp it. And so we can't grasp it other than the way it's been shown to us, unless you're an African. Now, I believe a lot of black people are drawn to Christianity because of our genetic memory and cultural lineage back to this story of Osiris Seth, Heru and Seth, because that was the foundation for most of the religions in the world, the psychodramas and the myths in the world. They just won't give us credit for it, and that's okay, as long as we understand. And so those people who are saying, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season are saying it, but just because they say it doesn't make it so. If they want to equate that as their truth, fine. I'm not saying that to denigrate that or debunk that. What I'm sharing is the greater truth, the greater historical reality, the greater historical reality about his name, was Yeshua or Joshua. He was not some Nordic white guy with long blonde hair, some pale guy. The only people that look like in that region are the invaders, the interlopers. And this is after thousands and thousands of years of invasion and miscegenation. You still see them. They're basically dark-skinned people. They're people with some degree of melanin. Even the so-called Palestinians, a lot of them are Semites. Semites being the early invaders who mated with the Africoid indigenous people. And you have this mixed racial and phenotypical admixture. But to say that Jesus, which wasn't his name, was some light-skinned, blonde, blue-eyed guy in that time, in that geographical location, is totally disingenuous and is not true. And again, it's not my intent to debunk anybody's religion. I'm saying this to say it's okay to acknowledge and celebrate Kwanzaa, because they are not the same, they're not in competition, and it's a way to bring our community together, to come in unity, to come in common purpose, to come in common and collective energy and effort to build our community. Now, after all these years of celebrating Kwanzaa, we have yet to really manifest those values. And the reason is because we only, for the most part, we only do it from December 26th up to January 1st. This should be a 365 effort. And this is what I'm hoping, that we will begin to actualize this and integrate these principles, the Nguza Saba, unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, collective economics, creativity, all the way down to faith, the purpose in our lives. Because, like I said in the piece, information without action is meaningless. We have to begin to say that it's okay to be African. It's okay to be different. It's okay not to be a European and to function like a European. Not that I'm casting aspersions on what they do. Their behavior speaks for itself, good or bad. I'm suggesting that we need to man up, stand up, and stand out as African people, as divine creations who've come through a material lineage from Africa. And the key words here are divine entities. We are spiritual beings having a material, experimental existence here on this plane. This is just one of many, many planes. As Yeshua said, in my Father's house there are many mansions, many, many dimensions, many, many existences. We just can't see it. We can't fathom it because our minds have been dumbed down. We've been locked into this basically a very narrow view of reality in the world. And it's unfortunately, it's a very a-spiritual reality. I was saying on another program the other day, their Big Bang Theory basically takes the cause out of it. Okay, just say it was a Big Bang. Of course, why couldn't it have just been an orderly progression of things? But they want it to be just this Big Bang, and then everything comes into existence. They can't explain gravity. They can't explain the symmetry in the universe. They can't explain the relationship of greater elements, mass, and all that out of their Big Bang Theory that has no causative factors, because they don't want to get into God. And I can understand that, because their notion of God is so backward, so primitive, when you're talking about an anthropomorphic, man-like person, entity that has anthropopathic, meaning man-like emotions, anger, jealousy, vengeance, things like that, when the deeper understanding is that the Creator is without form. The Creator is intelligent. It's energy. It's power. It's potent. It's everywhere at all the time. It infuses everything. Their mindset, their view of the world, that doesn't compute. To them, it's nonsense, meaning because they can't fathom it and they can't perceive it through their five senses, it doesn't exist. Whereas African, we've intuited all along. Whether it's the Memphite theology, whether look at the various creation stories, God was always consciousness. Even in one says, I was alone. And the loneliness was what motivated the Creator to create, so that he could have experience, so he had have company, so he could have interaction with creation. And creation can interact with itself, because that's what we're doing. When we find that the kingdom of God is within us, that is spread out all around the earth, we can interact with it in a proper way, where we revere it and we understand, like most first world people, the importance of paying homage and revering the creation, because it is a manifestation of the Creator, not because it's great in and of itself. It's a manifestation of the Creator, that there is unseen intelligence, unseen power, unseen energy behind everything. That's what metaphysics is. And I really wanted to talk about Kwanzaa, but I'm getting off the subject, but it's all interrelated. Kwanzaa is about cognitive values, a sense of purpose and a sense of intention, how we should be acting with ourselves and in the world in general. But it's based on a very deep and spiritual look at reality, look at the universe, look at ourselves, bringing this and infusing it and focusing it on what we do together, because it is a collective orientation. And unfortunately, because we haven't gotten the validation and appreciation from the oppressor and for the gatekeepers and for the keepers of the status quo, even though it has spread around the world, it's celebrated in numerous countries around the world, there's still resistance here because of many times our people's misunderstanding or their sense or their of dread, or they view it as a threat to their belief system, when it can exist, can coincide and complement what they believe in if they were open enough to examine it, look at it, weigh it. They would see that it's not a threat, that it could be a complementary vehicle to reach out to the community, reach out within the community, and do things in the community in a way that is not where you have all these various denominations and they can't get along, either because they don't have the time or their schedules conflict or the crab mentality. It's a reflection of where we are as a consciousness. And I maintain to embrace Kwanzaa means you have to expand your consciousness. You have to move beyond your ego, which I said in my piece is an earth-grounded orientation, where you're talking mainly about the denser elements. Physicists know that matter is nothing more than energy that has become dense and solid. This energy comes from the Creator. It's part of the Creator. It's not separate from the Creator's intelligence or essence. It's just a denser form. Like I was saying on another program, it's like viewing steam, water, and ice. There's a point in time when steam is vaporizing into the ethers, you can't separate it. You might see the smoke, but as it rises and becomes part of the air, it becomes invisible. Whereas you can see the water, you can feel it, you can touch it, and you can definitely feel, touch, and hold the ice in your hand. And that's what happens. That's when we look at matter, think of it as ice. But the creative force and the thing that holds it together is the steam. There's no difference. The steam is just imperceptible. That's all. Spirit is imperceptible, but we can see it in matter. That's why all the wise teachers, all the avatars talked about there is no separation. That's why the greatest thing they taught, they all taught it in one form or another. Love your brother, love your neighbor as thyself. To the same degree you love yourself, love your neighbor, because we are all one. The animating life spirit that animates them, the quote-unquote them, the proverbial they, the proverbial other, is the same spirit that animates us. And we need to recognize that. And the sooner we recognize that, and the sooner we're able to love ourselves and extend that love to everyone, you'll see a change in our community. You'll see a change in the world. Unfortunately, our adversaries, those people who want to keep us in bondage, keep us in the darkness, keep us in ignorance, keep us in slavery, don't want us to understand that. And that's the analogy, the metaphor of the winter solstice, when the sun dropped down for those 3 days, but then it came back up. That's the whole where the 3 days in the grave come from, the resurrection comes from. Because even according to the biblical story, Yeshua, if he was hung on Friday and they took him down and he emerged early Sunday morning, that's not 3 days. But, you know, you're supposed to accept all that stuff and not be critical thinkers. But the 3 days, that's really the solstice. That's what they're talking about. It's an astrological, a celestial occurrence. But I don't want to get into that. I just really had intended to talk about Kwanzaa and the importance of passing it on to the children, because, number one, it's non-liturgical other than the seven principles. It's not about any creed or dogma. It's not anything that you're going to go to war against, as you've seen the whole history of Christianity, the fights between the Catholic Church and the Protestant movement, and on and on and on. I think one of the reasons it hasn't been embraced, because a lot of the leaders, the so-called leaders, can't make any money off of it. They can't use it to create a platform where they can lord it over people, they can exploit people, it's not about that. Kwanzaa, at least as long as Milana Karenga has been alive and remains alive, is not a materialistic celebration. It talks about the first fruits, but we don't have anything to do with the fruits. We're the beneficiaries of the fruits of the universe, of the earth. And so you can't make any money off of that. The gifts and the sharing, they're all supposed to be creative. They're not supposed to be ostentatious. They're not supposed to get into trying to keep up with the Joneses. It's about coming together. It's about intergenerational interaction and interfacing with families and communities so that we emerge stronger and more vibrant and more committed and have an affirmation toward doing right by ourselves and by our community. And basically people that want to keep the status quo have to be opposed to that, either consciously or subconsciously. Perhaps that's why a lot of people have resisted. Plus, the things that they're in, most of the religions that they're in, tend to have given them some kind of validation by the system, because a lot of them have to get licensed. They have to be licensed either by their denomination or their hierarchy or the state. So you become a flunky of the state, and which when they talk about Jesus was the reason for this, is the reason for the season, Yeshua was everything in opposition to that. He was not an ordained rabbi in the rabbinical tradition. He was a teacher, but he was not a pastor in that sense. He wasn't part of the Sanhedrin. He wasn't part of the Sadducees who controlled the temple. And he earned their ire when he went in and overturned the tables of the money changers and drove them out, because he saw it was a scam. He saw that they were probably cheating people with weighing as they changed the money and into the appropriate form of money for the temple. And of course, it was the Sadducees and the priests who turned him over to the Romans, because he was a threat to them immediately, and they said he was a threat to the Romans. And in many ways, he was, given they were imperialistic and militaristic, and they were very oppressive. And he was talking about peace. So that's our program for today. That's my rant for today. And thank you for logging on. Do this to offend anyone. Don't do any this to hurt anyone, to tear anybody's religion down. If you have some issues with anything I've said, drop me an email, jrswriter@comcast.net. Better yet, do some research and see. Then email me. Don't just go on what you've been taught, this whole indoctrination and brainwashing thing about anti-African, anti-Kwanzaa, or just the pro-Christian movement. Because if you do some real research about Christianity, you'd be very, very surprised. Very, very surprised. The Africans were all up in that in the beginning, till some other folks took it over. Then when it went, particularly when it became part of the Roman Empire, it's just move toward enlightenment, move toward the ascension, move up out of the grave, out of the cave, out of the darkness, move to the light. Until next time, this is Junius Ricardo Stanton wishing each and every one of you love, peace, health, prosperity, wisdom, power, but most of all, courage. The courage to be your true self, to find meaning, purpose, and fulfillment in your life, so that you evolve into all that the Creator intends for you to be, and your life manifests magnificently as you demonstrate the latent potential, power, and divinity that's within you, and that men and women see your deeds and your good works, and they acknowledge the Son, the Christ, and the God within you. Until next time, stay strong. And as we close out today's program, I want to thank you for logging on. Thank you for listening. And again, it was not our intent to antagonize anyone, although we know that being presented with new and sometimes contradictory information can be unsettling, but that this unsettlement could be the stepping stone to a higher consciousness, more awareness, and a better grasp of the truth. And so it is with that in mind that we do this, and as we leave you, we're going to share one more selection. I believe this is you heard Sweet Honey in the Rock with the Seven Principles after we came back from the break, and this is Sounds of Blackness as we take you out. So stay strong, happy Kwanzaa, and happy New Year, and we look forward to an even more invigorating 2012. As the Chinese say, may you live in interesting times. We definitely live in interesting times, and we encourage you to stay strong.
Sabbath place is the place that no army with artillery invades.
You've been listening to the Cyberspace Sanctuary, a safe house for your mind on the Blake Radio Network with Junius Ricardo Stanton. Thank you for logging on. We invite you to tune in again and engage in mental decolonization. Free your mind, the rest will follow.
That no corporation incorporates, no denomination faith dominates, and no court is going to try any.